Sometimes I believe that brevity can have a little more clarity than necessarily being verbose. So tonight, in the name of clarity, I've decided to use a little brevity. I bet a whole bunch of you internally went, yes. In Connecticut, Rhode Island, at St. Benedict's Catholic Church, Sister Mary Elizabeth taught religion on Saturday afternoon to a class of third grade students. I was one of Sister Mary Elizabeth's students. Sister had a very simple method of teaching us. She simply had us memorize the Baltimore Catechism's questions and its answers, word for word. Now, while Sister's method was pretty simple, as I look back, it must have been pretty effective, because to this day, I can remember the questions and the answers. Let me give you a few, not the whole catechism. Question: who is God? Answer: God is the maker of heaven and of earth and of all things. Question: where is God? Answer: God is everywhere. The third question: why did God make you? This one's a little more convoluted. God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in the next. How's that, sister? To love him, know him, love him, serve him, and to be happy with him forever in the next. I wanted to repeat that to you, because that third answer to those to that question is a pretty complete synopsis of the entire meaning behind today's gospel. You were made to know God so that you can love God. So the first thing you must do, of course, is believe in God. Now, we human beings, we come to our beliefs in one of two ways. We either believe because of evidence, hard proof, such as Thomas demanded in the upper room, or we come to believe by faith. And of course, Christ said, if you believe in me as the Son of God, by your faith, you're even more blessed than those who got the hard evidence like Thomas and the other disciples. I suppose Jesus may have said that because he knew that in the next 2,000 years, which now to us is the last 2,000 years, people would not be given hard evidence like a miracle in the upper room. Those who come to believe do come to believe by faith. But you know, some people have told me over the years, Deacon, it's hard to believe in God by faith. There's no proof, no evidence. But just to believe something by faith is almost impossible. And they are absolutely incorrect. We humans come to believe two ways, one by evidence, one by faith. You believe a whole bunch of things by faith alone. For example, I'll bet you believe that the gravitational pull on the surface of the moon is less than the gravitational pull on the surface of the earth. And unless one of you is an astronaut, you have no proof of that. You believe it on faith. You believe it because someone that you believe has told that to you. You believe that a germ is a small microcosm piece of life, that if it gets into your system, it'll make you sick. And unless you're a scientist or a medical scientist, you probably don't have any proof of that. You simply believe what people have told you. There are germs, and if you get them in your system, they'll make you sick, so keep your hands washed. So the first thing that we have to do, why did God make me? God made me to know him. In order to know him, I must believe in him. So the first foundation is for me to get eternal life, is for me to believe in God. To come to believe in God is to come to know him. And when I come to know him, when you come to know him, you will come to love him. That's the meat of the coconut. Because when you come to love God, like when you come to love anyone, what is it that you would like to do? You would like to please him. We always want to please people with whom we are in love. And how do you please Jesus Christ? What does he ask you to do? He asks you to be a person of love. of kindness, of generosity, of compassion. That will please him. And because you love him, you may strive to do that. And when you strive to do that, you are becoming a person who will be entitled to be happy with him forever in the next world. You are called to know God, love God, and serve God in this temporal world so that you can be happy with him forever in the next world. And that's how it happens. Now, if you don't know God, or if you don't love God, and therefore you don't serve God, whom do you suppose you will serve? Well, part of the human condition is we serve ourselves if we don't watch it. I suppose that comes from our survival instincts. People of self-service are not people of love. People of self-service are not people of compassion and generosity and forgiveness. They are people of acrimony. They are people who demand to be right. They are people who gossip. They are people who are controlling and grasping and hateful and spiteful and vengeful. Did I just describe souls in heaven, or did I just describe demonic souls in perdition? You are called to love so that you can live eternally with God in happiness. And you know, St. John, who wrote the gospel, summed all of this up at the end of the gospel beautifully and eloquently. He said, "These words have been written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that in that belief you will have eternal life." St. Paul said, life brings about eternal life. You're made to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, so that you will be happy with him forever in the next. Was that brief enough? Thank you.